as we need to do, Brother Peter.
Thank you very much. Wasn't happening at the change. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I bring with me the love of the brothers and sisters at Westleeds. Our speaker this morning being Brother Paul Davies, now of Melbourne.
Yeah.
I want to talk this morning about friendship. And of course, that leads to fellowship, as we understand it in Scripture. There are some features of our everyday life, and our life in the Lord Jesus, and we've got to remember that they are one and the same, which promote and show a great influence upon our lives. Sometimes it's challenging, we're able to enjoy it, and it's of mutual benefit to each and every one of us, bringing the blessings that we see and do well to make the most of. The thoughts that we have this morning, as we think about them and dwell upon them, have their foundation in love, don't they? In the way that God's love is shown for us, in our caring and sharing with one another, in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that his life was given for our sins and on our behalf. We're told, aren't we? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If we think about friendship, we value the opportunities and the times that we are able to contact each other, even now in different ways, whether it's by telephone or by Zoom. We rejoice, don't we, that we are still able to meet together. The lives we live are an offering, aren't they, to the Lord, through his mercy and grace. Let us be sure that through the Lord Jesus, our offering is acceptable to the Lord God. At all times, and particularly through the past 18 months, the guidelines of Scripture have been there for us to accompany us in our journey through life. There to advise and to help us. There to be followed until Christ returns, and there to apply. In Proverbs we're told, a man that has friends must show himself to be friendly. Ecclesiastes perhaps sums it up in a better way. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labour. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to lift him up. Now, the Bible there talks about friendship. If you go to chapter 17 and verse 17 of Proverbs, Scripture sets out for us a true principle and a standard which tells us a true friend loveth at all times. So that's the sort of relationship that we want, isn't it? An affection that we can depend on. The love that is constant in all circumstances, reliable in every way, wherever we are, dependable and consistent, whatever we have to face. And so we've seen the usefulness, haven't we, of being able to connect with Zoom, with the homes and other charities too, showing the concern that we have for our fellow brothers and sisters. I want us to think of the friendships and the relationships that we have at the same time, and the way that we as individuals try to contribute. I wonder if we show ourselves to be open. Do we show what we really think? perhaps David has got the right idea when in the Psalms, Psalm 142 and verse 4, he tells us, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. I looked on my right hand, and there was no man who would know me. Refuge failed me, no man careth for me. Perhaps this may be unknown to ourselves how some of our older brothers and sisters might have felt during this time, when perhaps we have failed them, have forgotten that phone call, or perhaps weren't there when we were needed. Yet David knew where he had to turn. Is he not? I cried unto you, O Lord, bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise your name. Sometimes I'm sure in the last 18 months we must have felt just like that. And with such an experience, this reflects our need, doesn't it? So come out of the prison, as it were, of our own minds. Indeed, our thoughts can be dangerous, can't they? They take us into a different place, a less secure place. Yet in Scripture, there's so many positive examples of friendships, aren't they? Think of Jonathan and David. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. I was distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant of you be to me. Your love has been wonderful. And so as we look at the experiences that they shared together, you understand how in 1 Samuel 20 and 17 there was the comment that he loved him as he loved his own soul. I want us to think of the qualities that there were in this relationship between the two men. They cared for one another. There was a genuine concern for the other's welfare. And also the selfless way that they put themselves at risk, for the well-being of a close friend. Remember how that friendship was tested by the antagonism of King Saul? We see true friendship that triumphs despite the opposition and the adversity. And yet, going through, we see today that there's always the loyalty, the concern, the commitment, the constancy, and the shared love. A wonderful example, of course, to many of us, and particularly to our sisters, is the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. In chapter 1 and verse 16, we see that Ruth played. She stopped with her. Despite the upset of her own life, the death of her own husband, the friendship, the companionship that was there, it wasn't found wanting, despite the difference in age. And there's a lesson there for us all to learn, isn't there? The example speaks so loud and clear. Entreat me not to leave you as a plea. Whither you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. The true character here of Ruth is very much, isn't it, in evidence. And the closer you look at the relationship, the clearer the picture and the focus comes, and it's so encouraging. Yes, we talked, haven't we, before, of loyalty, of trust. But if you add to it the tenderness, the kindness and the understanding, the patience and the comfort all bonded together, in faith, and through their sorrow, they found joy, for their new life was built upon the tragic loss that they had both suffered together. One of the most examples, interesting examples, is that of Paul. His bountiful provision of true friendship and companionship regularly answered the day-to-day loneliness of the apostle as he worked in the care of the Master. Think of a nurse before us who ministered to him with all his help. Paul says, he oft refreshed me. And despite the fact that he was in prison, he says, he was not ashamed of my chain. And of course, at the end of the Acts, in chapter 27 and verse 3, there's Julius, the centurion on the way to Rome, who gave Paul liberty, his freedom to go to his friends, to refresh himself. Think of Epaphroditus, the companion and fellow worker who looked after all Paul's needs. Priscilla and Aquila, tent makers like himself, to whose home he would choose to make his way. The Authorized Version tells us he laid down their nets for the apostle. And of course, if we think of Jesus, there were the women of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 55, the closest of Jesus' friends at his hour of most dire need, ministered faithfully unto him. There was a spirit of service always there, and in close accompaniment there was comfort, consolation and encouragement, and indeed strength. Yes, our minds are bound to go to the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, Martha who received him into her house. They sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. In this family, their friendship and their faith had a very close link that they enjoyed to the full. This we witnessed, don't we, in the way that after the death of Lazarus, it was to Jesus they said. The words in that chapter in John, we read that Jesus wept, of course, seeing before him what was before him and what was to come. But it says too how Jesus must have felt at that time, of which the crowd that were there commented, behold how he loved him. Now we see true friendship in practice, don't we? So particularly in this day and age, our own relationships and friendships are very important. Badly chosen friends can really do harm. We cannot emphasize enough how important this is. We think how we spend our time. We think of the interests we have, the dedication and the responsibilities that we have that are vital to help us on the way to the kingdom. So we choose our friends carefully, don't we? We're told to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. To the Galatians, the apostle tells them, don't be weary in well-doing, but do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. At the same time, we see the call of the gospel continuing to go out, perhaps not in areas that we are used to, I have been used to seeing. It is important that we show ourselves friendly, able to cope with the needs and the welfare of others who have not been blessed as we are. And this could be, and this is our means, isn't it, at the moment, of being able to bring others to that knowledge of salvation. Remembering that Jesus himself even made friends with the publicans and sinners, and some of those he used as his closest associates, even as his disciples. All friendships can and do have a wonderful influence, don't they? James not only states the principle, but he applies it to individuals. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we think about this, don't we, for ourselves, the reality of what we're saying, and can be applied. We think about it and consider it in our own life, in relation to what it says. We ask ourselves, where do our priorities lie? There are some examples that help us in this life. Of those who found a special relationship with God himself in the Bible. Abraham, who was called the friend of God, as James 2 and verse 23 tells us. Think about Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. And David, described as a man after God's own heart. Ever thought about why, brothers and sisters? At the same time, we don't forget that God isn't limited to looking at outward appearance, but right through to the heart of the individual. Think of those three men again. Abraham believed God. That was the basis for his friendship. But Moses, in the words of God himself, as Scripture tells us, you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. But when we see to David, perhaps we see David in a different way, and we might find difficulty with this choice. But let us never, I repeat, never underestimate the grace and the mercy of the Lord God. High standard of achievement must have been reached by David to be called, as Scripture tells us, a man after God's own heart. Our friendship then with God affords the assurance that comes from no other source and immediately builds up our confidence. Think of the example of Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage. So it's extended to us, the true friend. I'm going to take this a little further now. And think of our friendship with Jesus. A friendship to which we all aspire, don't we? They're introduced, aren't they? They're important with additional requirements. Because such a friendship is only possible, as John tells us in chapter 15 and verse 40, if you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Think of the question that's asked of us in Scripture. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In human friendship, obedience to one with another is by no means an essential requirement. But when we think of our friendship with the Lord Jesus, this is so. And if we are seeking for close harmony with God, it's what matters most. So we try, don't we, to get right our relationship with the Lord Jesus and through him with the Father himself. So we seek for control that this will have in our lives, in everything that we do. It's everything, including the friendships, the relationships that we have with our brothers and sisters and with others, that they will fall into place. Our friendship then with us should not be just friendship. It shouldn't be that we just have companionship that we share one with another. Though we're privileged and thankful to be able to enjoy through life, so we have that friendship one another, with one another, and that fellowship indeed with the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks indeed now that we have that relationship. And as in Bethany of old, with Martha and Mary, we're aware that Jesus has come into our homes today. He made that promise where two or three are gathered together in his name. And now it's our privilege to remember him in that appointed way. To share our breaking of bread together, though we might be miles apart. We look back to Bethany, asking ourselves that question, can he feel at home with us now? Is the same joy there for us in his presence? Is there the same love as there was then? Is there the same peace? So we turn our eyes to Calvary to see again the suffering Saviour and our crucified Lord, and we consider ourselves in our weakness, and we pray forgiveness in him. But then, with the women, we visit that tomb and listen to the reassuring words of the angel. He is not here. He is risen. Resurrection indeed. Here lies our hope. And we pray earnestly that very soon we shall see the return of our Lord and Saviour and the establishment of God's kingdom upon the earth. Our faith indeed shall be changed to sight. And we pray that we shall see Jesus as he is.